Good morning, everyone. This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for March 2nd, 2021. Second item on the agenda is comments from the public. Do we have any comments from the public this morning?
I don't have any hands raised or chats.
Very good. So we will move on to reviewing the monthly updates, Paul.
All right, thank you and good morning, everyone. If you could bear with me one moment. I see Amelia's scrolling through the packet, but it is microscopic to me. So I'm trying to deal with making that a little bigger. One moment, please. Never had this happen before. Well, anyways, I'll go through my part of it. Yeah, I'm really having technical difficulties. Just one moment. I opened up the PDF and it's not scrolling for whatever reason.
Paul, I'm going to mute everyone and then I'll unmute you.
All right, thank you.
Where did you go, Paul? Can you unmute yourself, Paul? There we go.
Yeah, you can't make what you're sharing on the screen bigger for some reason.
I can go like that.
Right. No, I did it. I see in the upper right-hand corner, there's a side-by-side thing, and somehow that. All right, I'm here. All right, so as an update for regulations, as I stated here in the packet, the state is proposing new indoor water legislation. It's going to be debated by the Regional Water Authority, which is a group of all the local water agencies in the Sacramento region. The standard is very onerous, and the reasoning behind it is pretty unclear at this point. It seems like they're forcing something without having the existing standard that they're pushing through, even in, to the point where all water districts are complying with that yet. So. This is more informative for our district that it may be on the horizon. And it's very onerous, as I mentioned, and to even to get to those levels, you would have to probably get to a tiered rate system that would also be onerous on the rate payers of your district. And it would be very harsh for people with large families. Where your indoor water use is much higher than, you know, say, single person or retirees living at home. So, as I again stated, it's going to be debated and hopefully shot down because it's going to be very, very, very hard to meet for large families. And yes, our stance, I see a question here in the chat, will our district take a stance on this proposal? So as a member of the Regional Water Authority, our stance it basically is in line with the regional water authorities that in putting our voice behind the Regional Water Authority if and when they send the letters to the legislature in regards to this, that we're going to contest it at this point. And if the board members have a different stance on that, they're welcome to chime in and I will convey that on behalf of the district. And everybody's muted, so if you have a question, please raise your hand or put it in the comments.
And Jim Chowder is asking again, will all of this info be shared in the pipeline?
It wasn't planned to at this point. Again, it's still something that's going through the legislature and hasn't been formally adopted, but we can consider it for inclusion in our pipeline for sure.
And this is Tom Hennig. This is somewhat preliminary. This stuff is being, I think periodically they put out stuff that requires that a lot less water be used. For us, this would be extremely onerous because we'd have to figure out how to have 2 meters on homes or some way to detect indoor use versus outdoor use. We will definitely participate in opposing this type of legislation, and we'll stay involved, and we can put it into the pipeline as informative messages. We can keep it in through the general manager's report, or Paul can track it through his monthly reports. We definitely will pay attention to it, and we'll participate in any type of campaign that is trying to control this, getting out of control as far as these types of restrictions. It probably would be very expensive on from a ratepayer standpoint and from a district standpoint.
Yeah,
Paul, just as an aside, are there water districts out there that somehow track indoor versus outdoor use, and how do they do it?
Yes, and we do as well. I was going to comment on that. You do not put on 2 meters to do that. What you do is you look at what your lowest month of usage is in the wintertime when it's raining heavily, and that becomes your kind of baseline standards. And there's a calculation that the Department of or Division of Drinking Water has put out to calculate that. I'm now reporting that out. We hadn't been doing it correctly up until last month. So when you look at my regional or my residential gallons per capita per day chart that is in my board packet update, that will be conveying that information. And it is a calculation, as I said, based on the assumption that your lowest indoor water use month is during rainfall events is your indoor use. And it's
so not we'll get that report next month. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it'll be in the, it was in last month's board packet, and it'll also be in this month's board packet.
Oh, so where are we averaging or mean or compared to these numbers we're looking at on the screen?
If you want to hold for one moment, I can look that up. Sorry, I'm pulling up an Excel spreadsheet as you wait. And it truly depends on the time of year. For average, let me see. We're kind of looking like, I'll have to double check this data, but I think we're up in the 80s right now.
Oh wow! So we don't even comply with what the current standards are going to be, let alone more stringent.
Yes, yeah, and so. At times a year we do, but at other times we don't. And so the calculation's not perfect. And so that's something that's going to have to be cleaned up and figuring that out as well. And I will also convey what the Regional Water Authority, other members' data is as well in this upcoming board packet. So you can see what a comparison to other area water districts are. For example, San Juan Water District, theirs was so high. It was much higher than everybody else's that I think they stopped reporting at some point. But anyways, any further questions on that?
I do have more chats. Mr. Crowder said, Crowder, I think is, I'm saying it correctly. Good, the residents need to know and speak up to the state, said Randy had a good question. And then he said, what about other water districts? What do they average? So
again, yes, I will report that out in my operations update at this next month's board meeting.
And we'll pay attention to the Regional Water Authority reports and try to glean from those averages for other water districts and start to report ours on a regular basis so people can start knowing where they're at on when they get their monthly bills. Maybe we'll add something to the monthly bill as well.
All right.
Very good. Let's move on, Paul.
All right, and just in regards to the Slough House Resource Conservation District groundwater sustainability plan update, they're still looking to develop one. They almost adopted one last board meeting, but it got a bit contentious within the board members, so they never adopted one. This is in regards to the groundwater sustainability that groundwater users are being required to comply with. That's why I included the Slough House Resource Conservation District's website link, as well as the Sacramento Groundwater Management Association website. So we can see what's going, or excuse me, SGMA, which is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is pushing that everybody forms groundwater sustainability plans. So as it relates to us here in Rancho Murrieta, there may be minor assessments as it relates to these. So as Mark Martin had been reporting out in the past, that we fall within two basins here. And so we may get two assessments depending on where you're at, you'll be assessed within that basin. And it may be within the Sac Central Groundwater Authority or the Slough House Resource Conservation District's Groundwater Authority. Because the SGMA gives them authority once they develop a GSP to bill users within their areas. And if we're not actually pulling water from the ground, which the district has no intent to do, the annual rate on it's supposed to be very low, as it should be. I mean, you shouldn't pay for anything you're not getting. So that's my big argument on behalf of the district is, why should district ratepayers have to pay anything that they're not using? But again, this is a state program that's being implemented throughout the entire state, and local user groups such as Slough House Resource Conservation District are looking to form their own GSPs versus having the state come in and do it. They said if the state came in and do it, it would be far more costly than if they did it themselves locally. And as it relates to the Sac Central Groundwater Authority, that's somewhat being headed up by Sacramento County. They're looking to hand that off to the Regional Water Authority to be managed. And so that is something that's being discussed right now as well. And that's it on that front. Scroll down, Amelia. So just heads up that our consultant, Stratus Environmental, has conducted fat soils and grease inspections and industrial waste inspections for stormwater compliance to make sure that there's no issues as relates to unwanted materials getting into the sewer system or stormwater system. And so a lot of reports were sent out last week from their last inspections, and some of the concerns that were discovered, Tom and I will be getting to them as time permits to discuss with the businesses that have those minor issues. As it relates to asset updates, association reserves were out here last week, met with Director Pohl, Mr. Hennig, and myself, and Cindy to discuss the assets that we have, and then also conduct site reviews of our various facilities, including security and administration, you know, and water, sewer, and drainage facilities. Spent a substantial amount of time updating a lot of our assets on a Excel spreadsheet and handing that off to the association reserves folks to begin their updates. And so that work is in progress, and there's a substantial amount of work there, and they're looking to get that done under a pretty tight schedule, which I believe is a 7-week window. Any questions on that front? Seeing none. Anyone there?
We're here. There's no questions, no chats.
All right. Thank you, Amelia. It seems awfully lonely when it's quiet. Development project updates. Not a lot has gone on last month, as the weather wasn't conducive to construction work. So lot 7, no work going on there. Start date is pending weather. Nothing on the Myriad Gardens infrastructure, really nothing going on with Myriad Marketplace. Please scroll down. On the lot 9, which is the Taco Bell, the developer reported that it's been approved by CPAC. But at this point, there is no start date as it relates to that I'm aware of. Lot 10, the PDF office, civil plans have been approved and signed off. And on lot 11, that project is given an anticipated start date of April 1st, which is weather dependent as well. For the Riverview project, if you could scroll down a little bit, Amelia. So Lori, are you in on the call?
I'm on the call.
All right, great.
Good morning, everybody. And to clarify real quick for the PDF site, we've approved them, but we've not actually signed them because they haven't brought us the Mylars to sign. I don't know why. So we'll do that as soon as they're ready for it. Okay. Riverview. So Riverview has had, they've broken this project up into 3 plan sets so far, and there will be more. It was originally just one. So, and then in addition to the 3 plan sets, there are several water, sewer, and storm drain studies. And those are probably a bigger component because they're actually not proposing to do very many lots right now in the initial phase. But it's really important that we get the groundwork, the grading done, all done. So that's where they stand. Phase 1A, we sent them comments back on February 3rd. Phase 1B, back in December. I saw an email last week. But I've not gotten a formal the water report, but I've not gotten a formal resubmittal back yet. And grading, we provide response, I think, a week or so ago. Probably the biggest impediments is why these aren't approved. Isn't so much, as I said, the plan stuff, but we're still working with them on the modeling for sewer and storm drain in particular to make sure that a few issues are resolved. For example, Paul, for the sewer, we have that overage issue that needs to be modeled correctly to make sure that their system won't negatively impact the district and stormwater. The initial phases should be fine, but they need to model the later phases to make sure that whatever they're discharging works and fits with LIDs and all of that. So all of that's in progress and the project is moving forward. I think they're expecting to do construction for the grading soon, this spring, but that's all pending. Any questions?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I have no questions, no hands raised.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, so moving on, Murrieta Business Park, no update there. They're continuing to build their structures. Retreats East and North, they have submitted improvement plans for a request that they be reapproved and signed off by Coastland, Sac Metro Fire, and Sacramento County. And so the re-review will be under review. Rancho Murrieta North development project, no real update on that. They're still continuing to work through their items in relation to moving that project forward. And same thing with Murrieta Hills Estates, formerly known as the Murrieta Hills East. No information. Can you scroll down, Amelia? So no really updated information as it relates to that as well. And then the last information that I have gotten from Sacramento County Planning website is listed there, that the project is subject to CEQA. Any questions, anybody on the development or projects? Okay.
Great, thanks, Paul. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is to discuss Rancho Murrieta Association's Architectural Review Committee plan review by district staff. Is that Tom?
Yeah, it's kind of a long title there, but that kind of sums it up. So the Architectural Review Committee over at the Homeowners Association, they have a whole department that reviews their lease of their lands to residences. So most of the lots in the North community are circle lots. And so people that live on these circle lots want to develop outside their lot lines. And to do that appropriately, they submit plans to the Architectural Review Committee at the Homeowners Association. So if they want to build a pool or patio or additional structures outside their circle lot, that they can get it approved, and they pay, I believe, a ongoing fee. I've requested the information from RMA multiple times and have yet to receive it, so I'm going to still try to get it as to what exactly their process is and the fees on all of that. So I will report back at a later time once I get that information. But as it relates to the district, a lot of these times people that are proposing these improvements do so within district easements. And so those are areas where water lines, sewer lines, and drainage lines, or a combination of all of them, may be. And so the Architectural Review Committee submits these plan packets over to us, requesting quick turnaround for review of what's being submitted. So currently the district does not charge a fee at all. It's not within any of our rate structures. That's one of the things we're going to look to potentially clean up, because it takes a substantial amount of time to go out and do a field survey. Sometimes we have to camera our sewer and drainage lines to mark out where they are in relation to where these improvements are being made, and conduct these underground service alerts and comment back and provide plan sheets marked up where we have concerns. And then sometimes, there's a lot of back and forth between the homeowner, their architect, and the ARC, because sometimes, people want to build a pool over the top of, a sewer drainage line or within an easement access way. And so this is just more informational at this point for the committee and public, that this is a service we've been doing. And basically we've just been charging it to our general fund as it relates to water, sewer, or drainage for time spent as it relates to whatever impacts are there, but is something that we're gonna need to clean up in the future. Any comments on that?
I have no comment. No,
so we haven't been tracking those costs to date. If we did come up with a fee schedule, would we just charge them hourly then?
That would be, if we did so, it would be tremendously expensive. So I have two recent plan reviews that I've had to spend a lot of time on with staff as people are wanting to build pools within easements or over easements. And so we have, and they're actually ongoing, and our costs right now would probably be up in the $2,000 range, which would be kind of absurd, you know, for a resident to submit a packet for. But we would have to do something. I mean, this is taking our staff time and efforts, and most districts charge for this type of service.
Well, it seems to me it would make sense that we would be reimbursed. But are there situations where all you're doing is looking to see where the improvement is going and there's no easement there, so it's a quick, no, we don't have anything there?
Yeah, sometimes that's the case.
All right. Okay, very good. Anything for that item?
I had a question.
Yes, Mark? Sir.
So are you proposing to get this fee structure in place this budget go round?
I do not anticipate that happening this budget go around with the amount of issues we're currently dealing with. That would be ideal, but I don't think we'd be able to get to that at that point. To get adopted with our 218 notice that would go out. And another comment I wanted to make as well is that a lot of these areas that are looking to do additional use, the majority of them are swimming pools and sometimes structures such as casitas that Director Merchant has mentioned multiple times, that people are going to have substantially more water use within their areas. And this was something that was discussed about a year and a half ago at the board level, that, you know, if these circle lots that are designated, you know, at a certain EDU are going to all of a sudden start using more water and expanding their lot to a much larger lot size, you know, would water augmentation fees be needed at that point for whatever increase? So that's something to be considered and discussed as well.
Question, does RMA and Mark Parsons have maps of CSD's easements?
Yes.
So they could see it even before you see it, right?
But sometimes, as I mentioned, we have to actually go out in the field and run locating devices through our utilities to specifically mark out where the impacts would be and where they would not be.
Yeah, I understand that. But sometimes if it's obvious and they have the maps, don't they just nix it right away?
They used to in the past, and for whatever reason, they send all of those plan reviews to us irregardless now.
Oh. Yeah, I think
I would think that's a good procedure to have. We would want to see everything, if not only for the casita situation that you just brought up, that we would know what was going on if it wasn't on our easement and they didn't bring it to our attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I agree that we need to look at it, but it seems like it'd be beneficial to have some of this stuff weeded out before we even get it. And
it would be nice.
Yeah.
And that'll be a discussion to be had with them as well.
Hey, Paul, this is Tom. Would you say that most of the times when you receive these reviews, we approve them, or would you say most of the time we don't approve them?
I would say about 85% of the time we approve them. And it gets to some point where it's adjusted, you know, the architect will adjust it to fit within our approval.
Because one of the ones you recently showed me was they were trying to put a pool in a place where somebody had put it in a pipe that was not authorized, had pulled in some of their own drainage pipe to cover up a drainage ditch. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's where it gets more fun. So it takes more of our time to deal with.
And that drainage that drainage pipe was put in so many years ago, nobody even knows when it happened, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we come across stuff that surprises us. And, you know, if somebody wants to put a pool someplace where somebody's altered the drainage system a little bit, you know, many, many years ago, we really don't discover it until we go out to look at it. So it's a process that's important that we continue to manage. As far as the lengthy ones where we end up spending a lot of time, we do need to come up with the fee structure. So there is some level of oversight on how we get reimbursed for the time we spend. And it could just be a flat fee or with exceptions for exceptional instances, like where there's a drainage issue, or it could be a straight per hour fee.
Well, I would suggest that we start tracking our time on this stuff right now so that we have some historical data when we, if the intent is to just set a set fee, that we have something to look back on to show where, how we came up with the fee.
Yes, we absolutely need to start doing that, and we'll start doing that.
Great.
I do have some chats, if I may.
Certainly.
Jim Crowder, shouldn't time spent be charged to the resident? And he followed up with, but why should all of the ratepayers absorb the cost? Additionally, he has his hand raised. So Jim, if you can unmute yourself, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Yes, gentlemen, I am pleased to hear you start going down that path of if someone, you know, if the resident is putting in a pool, they need to take ownership of any additional costs. And I agree with RMA. I don't want, you know, Mark Parsons is making a good move by, if he made a mistake, I know darn well that, you know, CSD as a whole would come back and tell Kevin and Mark, okay, why'd you make this error? You know, how did you overlook this? So it's very important, you know, with that drainage pipe that you just came across, that's one prime example. But yes, I agree. Please, you know, it might take a little time to figure out how to put that cost back to the people, but anyone put in a pool, if they're going to drop, you know, $40,000-$50,000, another $2,000 isn't going to make, that's not going to break the bank.
Thank you for that. I would say that when we get further down the road on this item, that we need to discuss this with RMA and figure out, occurs to me just off the top of my head that the best way is for us to just charge RMA a fee to do the plan check, and then it's up to them to get reimbursed by the property owner, because they're already in that situation where they're asking for exclusive use fees, and this could just be part of their reimbursement so that we can get paid. But I think we're getting out ahead of ourselves on this thing. There's some work and some discussions to be had about it.
Great.
Anything further on that topic?
No chats, no hands.
Great. Let's move on to the Laguna Joaquin related activity.
This is Tom. I'll handle this one. I received a letter from the RMA, Kevin Hubred, about 10 days ago, whereby they're claiming that the silt in Laguna Joaquin is a district issue and not an RMA issue. I'm preparing a response to Kevin's letter that I'm going to run through our attorney and have him review the discussion as to who owns the problem of where the midge flies are coming out of the silt. And if it turns out that the district has a responsibility for the silt, the instigator for all the midge flies, then we're going to need to take a hard look at what we can do to mitigate that problem this year. And it could be as simple as we end up draining Laguna Joaquin as a whole, and we go in and do our regular maintenance that we do on our other drainage areas, whereby we remove deposited material, replace it somewhere else, and we return the detention basin into its properly functional way of managing drainage. And then in addition to that, we might do some design work on our drainage system previous to when the water gets into Laguna Joaquin. But that's kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Right now, I owe a letter back to Kevin on the district's position. And in order to do that, I have to get that to Dick Shanahan after getting comments from our own staff. To make a long story short, it continues on, but we really have to make sure we do something before it gets hot and the midge flies start coming out in July and August again. Are there any questions?
So I'm hearing you're going to get this to Dick. I assume he's already seen this letter. Is he getting an opinion back to us on whether or not he agrees or disagrees with RMA's position?
Well, my instructions are to draft our opinion and then to run our opinion through Dick rather than have him create it for us. So I've got comments from some board members, and I've got my own comments to work with, and I'll work with Paul in responding to Kevin's letter, and then we'll take my response and give it to Dick for his review, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Martin, anything?
Nope. I'm fine.
Just a heads up, I believe that the RMA at their next board meeting is going to consider doing a couple of things, restocking with fish and possibly trying out a new system that puts oxygen not only in the water, but in the silt. So time is of the essence, and we're going to get to a point here very quickly where we either lose this summer, which we can't afford to do to the midge flies, or we do something quick. And that's my understanding of what's going on over there. So.
Yeah, I did get an email from Kevin talking about proposing to buy new aerators and to purchase a whole bunch of mosquito fish to be put in there. Historically, our thoughts on the mosquito fish is that they get eaten by the predator fish. And also there was some talk that the mosquito fish weren't all that effective with the midge flies because of the fact that if they come out of the silt, they come out in groups and then they hit the top of the water and take off, and that the mosquito fish, unless they're in the right place at the right time, are not that effective. And to be honest, I mean, we did put out the RFP to get professionals to come in and tell us what to do, and that whole project stalled. Part of my consideration in my response to Kevin's request that we take on this responsibility is to go back to those RFPs and possibly parse out a little bit of it to help us with defining how the drainage should probably work, or possibly, you know, ways to deal with the midge flies in the water from an expert point of view. So it's very confusing to address it as a whole. So maybe we'll zero in on a couple areas such as drainage, and particularly treating the midge flies, whatever we can do about that this coming year, because obviously the Bactum that we put in over the past few years has not been all that effective.
Yeah, I only bring it up because you mentioned draining it and removing silt, and we need to communicate, because it sounds like that would be in direct conflict with what their plans are. So just we need to be talking to each other.
Okay. Right?
Did I hear Martin?
Yeah, are we doing anything new with a proposal to change the source of water for the irrigation? We talked once about pumping out of Chesbro.
Yes, so in regards to that, the follow-up is I've been requested to get information from the Homeowners Association for their irrigation system. Yeah. And they do not have a written plan of what their irrigation system exists as. That most of that system was built by, I believe, the OE3 folks way back when to irrigate the North Course. And it's, as Rod Hart, the maintenance manager at RMA, reported out, that system is more like a golf course irrigation system than it is a regular landscape irrigation. So it runs at very high pressures and flows. And it basically has stalled because the information for their system is that they believe they might have is that it flows over 1,100 gallons per minute, which is extremely high. So it's not typical of an irrigation system. And so with the meetings I've had with Rod, that to put in a pumping system from Chesbro back down to Laguna, it is possible to do so. And you could probably get it to pull a siphon from Chesbro down to Laguna, but they currently need to utilize their existing irrigation system lines. And we couldn't backfeed it through that system because when they're in the summer months, apparently their system's running in one form or another, practically 24 hours a day to irrigate various portions of their system. And so new piping would need to be installed all the way down Murrieta Parkway to Laguna Joaquin to get water from Chesbro into Laguna. So just the assumed costs would be very, very high, let alone the work. And so it has stalled.
The other thing that's going on there, Martin, is RMA's plan, long-term plan, is to redo all their landscaping, not only around Laguna Joaquin, but elsewhere to go with drip systems and low water usage landscaping. So you throw that into the mix and it's kind of like, well, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do we put a pump in up at the top of the system and start pumping down, or do they try and get that their change to their irrigation system started first? So it gets a little complicated, but the good thing is everybody's talking to each other, and eventually we'll come up with an overall plan here and get that situation taken care of, because watering that grass around that lake with that stinky water is not a good thing that's going on right now. It needs to be resolved.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and this is Tom. There's also discussion about trying to get recycled water for their usage, but then we end up with, you know, putting recycled water in the drainage system, which is a no-no. There's a lot of different ways to handle this, and we just communicating with Kevin is helpful, and Paul working with Rod, and all of us working together to discuss through this. So it's super complicated, and hopefully we can have some positive effect on the midge flies this summer.
Well, I got to believe that part of the big long-term solution is somehow getting that water down Murrieta Parkway out of Chesbro, because I think that the only way we're ever going to have something that we're going to be happy with is to flush that system every once in a while when the water starts getting warm. Okay. Anything else on that? Shoot.
I have, two chats from Jim Crowder. He said, good point. Communication is needed to address this issue. And then he said, correct. Water from the Gunawakin has midge flies in it. Then the midge flies just spread. Did you want to comment on that, Jim?
Yeah, just a quick comment. You guys are, I agree with, I can't say more about talking with Kevin and trying to get everyone on the same page, because in the end, all the ratepayers, if the problem isn't addressed, they'll just blame both RMA and CSD for not working together and not addressing the problem when both entities are taking the time to fix it. And there's no need for either agency to fall short, because I really feel that an effort is really being made now.
Thank you. Anybody else, Amelia?
That is all.
Great. Let's move on then to the Riverview conditions of approvals, please.
If I may, this is an item that Paul sent over last week when I was gone on vacation, and it was posted in this packet. Yesterday, late in the afternoon, he did make some adjustments to it. He just updated the memo a little bit. So I've posted the updated memo on the internet, and with your permission, Randy, that's the memo that Paul wants to speak about today.
Certainly.
Thank you. The one that's in the packet has draft stamped across it. So I just wanted to clean that out and get out one of the mitigation measures, which wasn't for.
So the one that's on our screen right now is the one that you want to discuss.
Hopefully that's the one I want to discuss. I can't see the whole thing. I only see a section of it. But
yeah, it's the one that I put up this morning.
Can you shrink the zoom a little? So we're put on one page at a time.
Oh, so you see the whole page. I can.
Well, yeah. not that small. I mean, oh. Sorry. Just keep it at 100%. Sorry.
Okay, like so.
Thank you. So yes, that is the one I wanted to have in the packet. So just to follow up from the conference call that Tom and I had with Sac County Planning Department, where the planning department noted that there's several other departments that are involved in a development review and approval, which includes county engineering and site improvement, which seems to be the kind of clearinghouse of it all. Their engineering and survey section, county regional parks, and of course the planning department. And so getting some feedback as it relates to the mitigation measures, which are a portion of the conditions of approval for the project, I asked what is the timing required for response for these mitigation measures. And for example, one of the mitigation measures we need to discuss is sewer service. And I highlighted when they are due, underlined. So if you see there in the packet, for example, that's prior to issuance of building permits as it relates to water treatment plant upgrade, that'd be prior to issuing of building permits as well. Scroll down, Amelia. Installing stormwater facilities, again, prior to issuance of building permits. And then as it relates to maintaining stormwater facilities and stormwater facilities agreements, that's prior to recordation of the final maps for those projects. And so these are items that we'd be working through to convey back to the responsible departments over at the county to say that we've coordinated this work, or the improvements are okay or not okay as it relates to district providing service. So it's pretty straightforward, but that's something we'd want our engineers to help us out to convey. Any questions on those?
Any hands or chats, Amelia?
No, no hands, no chats.
I have no questions. Martin?
Yeah, is there any update on maintaining service to the wooden bridge?
No. Tom, are you aware of anything on that front?
I have not heard anything, but I have a there was a comment like it was, you know, like it was being addressed. I don't know what it is, though. I don't know what their solution is at this point in time.
Thank you.
Okay. Any hands or up or chats, Amelia?
No hands, no chats.
Great. So let's talk about on-call electrical services.
All right, so want to get to that, Amelia?
Oh, there it is.
All right, so we had sent out a request for proposal packet for electrical services. It says engineering here, but no, we did that as well. But in this packet, it's on-call electrical services to industrial electrical contractors. And we also required a mandatory meeting. And so the four bids we received, they all attended the mandatory meeting and submitted bids. We had within the RFP a scoring structure that we had outlined that would be followed. And then several staff members here within the district went through and scored everybody's proposals. And the highest scoring proposal ended up being Telstar, which included all the scoring components. So it's the recommendation based on that score is to proceed with Telstar. And it's noted that our past electrical contractors work kind of with various, and it's not just a single electrical contractor, but our electrical services in total seem to average around $130,000 per year. So that's the estimated cost that would be for project or the on-call services, I should say, moving forward. In the past, the majority of our work was done by Prodigy Electric, which was one of the submitters here. They do great work, very small shop, with no overhead. It's just the owner doing the majority of work and his brother. So their costs are fantastic, but they had difficulty in submitting a packet as requested. So unfortunately, they did not score highest within our scoring matrix. So with that said, are there any questions?
Well, Paul, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment. I asked Paul to put together these requests for proposals because of the fact that every year we spend a significant amount of money on a variety of different electrical needs. We have a lot of lift stations. We have a lot of electrical panels, the electronics that run the water treatment plant, the wastewater treatment plant. It's all complicated, and it's vital to the operation, the continued operation of the district. A lot of this work happens on weekends or early in the morning. It happens that we're kind of stuck with what we get as far as how much work the electrician thinks there needs to be done. And I just felt it was prudent management to enter into an agreement where we have consistent rates and that we have a consistent application of the work, so we can better track it and also not be tied to such a small shop if that's how the scoring worked out. Telstar has done work for us in the past. I think Paul could talk about a few projects they've worked on over the past few years, and having a 3-year term of agreement for consistency of our electrical support is, to me, a better business practice than just happening every time we have a problem to call Prodigy, or if they're not available, calling someone else. So Paul did a good job on putting this together. He held the meetings as necessary, and the proposals were good. Two of them came out really well. You can see Brook Electric and Telstar were very competitive with each other. So I think this is a good thing that we've done, and I think it helps better run the business of the district of our operations with electricity and how it affects the water and wastewater process. That's all.
Where's this Telstar located, Paul?
So their main office is in the Bay Area, but they have a local office in Sacramento, and they note that it's a 25-mile distance from the district's office.
Okay. I am good with sending this on to the board. Martin, anything?
I can support it. Are you happy with the rate schedule?
Yeah, you know, they're more expensive, but as I mentioned, they do, you know, they're a full service shop. They've got engineers, they've got office staffing, you know, so they have a substantial amount more overhead. But then again, you know, the hope you'll have better professional services and information conveyed with your projects when they're being done.
So. Okay, thanks.
Any hands or chats, Amelia?
No, none.
Okay, let's move this onto the board for approval. The last thing on the agenda is comments. Anything from staff, comments or suggestions?
Yes, a very significant suggestion is at the same time we were doing the on-call electrical services RFP, Paul was also conducting an RFP for engineering services to our contract with Coastland expires in mid-April. And so we have, I believe, four proposals that we received. They're a little bit more extensive than the on-call electrical. So I'm going to request that we schedule a special board meeting next week sometime, whatever works with the board members' schedules, to consider the RFP award for the district civil engineering and inspection services. So that's a request, and I'm hoping that you guys will agree to pick a date next week so Paul and I can put this together and make a recommendation on a replacement for Coastland going forward.
Did you say board meeting or committee meeting?
A committee meeting. Have the same type of discussion we just had with the on-call electrical, but it would be for the engineering and inspection services. We just didn't have the bandwidth to get both of these items reviewed and recommended by today's committee meeting.
So a committee meeting next week, and then we can, if it's approved by the committee next week, move it to the board March 17th. Is that your hope, Tom?
That's exactly my request.
Okay.
All right. Amelia, let's handle this. Let's handle this by email between the three of us. We don't have to spend time now on this. Okay.
Yes, very good. I'll send you an email.
Okay. Martin, you're available next week?
I can make myself available from Hawaii, but...
Martin, if I can make myself available from Cabo, you can make yourself available from Hawaii.
That's what I was thinking. All I got to do is take my laptop. So, yeah.
It's just that as long as it's not during cocktail hour, I'm good. Yeah. Or maybe... maybe if it is dirt. Nah, never mind.
Maybe. We'll figure it out. We'll work it out.
All right. Any other staff comments or suggestions? Nope. Hearing none. Martin, anything?
No, not from me. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have anything either. Thanks to everyone for joining us this morning, and Have a great day. We are adjourned.
Thank you.